Mondays. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
The Florida Sheriff Ranch's thrift store, located at 2622 Bayshore Boulevard in Dunedin, at the corner of Alternate 19 and Curlew Road, has over 14,000 feet of great shopping. Furniture, clothes, houseware, artwork, and much, much more, with daily specials. On Monday, 50% off all clothing. Tuesday, non-senior day, under 55, 50% off. Wednesday, all veterans, 50% off. Thursday, first responders and medical personnel, 50% off. Friday, senior day, 55 plus, 50% off. Saturday, teachers and educational staff also get 50% off. Check out the coupon in the BCC coupon book, also good for 50% off. The Florida Sheriff's Ranch Thrift Store, 2622 Bayshore Boulevard in Dunedin, 727-736-2527. Check them out online at sre4kids.org. The Florida Sheriff Ranch Thrift Store.
Opening a new business and need business cards? Want to create flyers or posters for that special meeting? Going to an expo and need banners or promotional items? Minuteman Press in Largo is the answer for all your print needs. Located at 2475 East Bay Drive in Largo, Minuteman Press not only does excellent work, but they are also super fast and priced right. They can design anything you need and provide you with direct mail promotions, calendars, brochures, presentation folders, digital services, labels, and much more. You can contact Minuteman Press at 727-535-3800 or check them out at largo.minutemanpress.com. If you need any type of printing or promotional items, there is nobody better than Minuteman Press Largo. Call them today, 727-535-3800, or check them out at largo.minutemanpress.com.
The Lucky Dill is the home of the sandwich that ate Brooklyn. Located at 33180 U.S. Highway 19 in Palm Harbor, the Lucky Dill has the longest, bestest happy hour in the Bay. Open 7 days a week from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Visit them online at LuckyDillDeli.com. Don't forget to enjoy a wide variety of drinks at the NYC Bar, located inside. Beat inflation. Eat huge sandwiches at the Lucky Dill in Palm Harbor. See their ad in the BCC coupon book. It's time for the Brian Cash Claus Show. Stay tuned to learn about the great deals you can find in the BCC coupon book. Now, here's the host with the most, Brian Cash Claus, and his very special guest.
Good afternoon, Tampa Bay. We are here live today.
Yes, we are.
From Red Rooster Antiques. And we are doing a live radio show today and free appraisals for any items that you have at home. You maybe want to know how much it's worth or what it is, because we have a few items here that I would have never guessed what some of them are.
That's right.
And so, guys, come out. We're at Red Rooster Antiques. We've got plenty of snacks. You can get on the air or bring an item. And we are at 30113 US 19 North, right before Curlew, right across from the Home Depot.
Yes, we are, and it's going to be a good day. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you today?
Good. We have somebody here, Alex, that just brought us in a cane.
All right.
A Victorian cane, and we want to look at it. And it's beautifully done. A lot of workmanship, all flowers all over it, and it has an initial on it. Let's see what it is. I think it's A.M. I think it's A.M.
Oh.
But it's just, it's probably from, I guess, about the 1880s.
Oh, really?
And the cane has been replaced, I believe. I think that the top is the Victorian piece. And it's just a really, really beautiful thing. I can't find a marking on it, but it's definitely sterling silver. And it's probably worth about $350. So that's a nice find, isn't it?
Very cool. Would you like to introduce yourself, Alex? Here. Put that headset on real quick.
Yeah. Can you hear us?
Can you say something?
All right.
Okay, we can hear you. So, do you remember where you found that?
This was just a family heirloom that was passed down, and I didn't really know anything about it.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely like that in my shop. I might have to work with him on that.
Yes, very beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Yep.
And how long have you had it in your possession?
I'd say about 10 years.
Okay, yeah. That's great. No, yeah. And it's really nice to see really beautifully made things. That's the thing about antiques. You never, the workmanship, they just don't do it anymore.
Right.
And that's, to see something that beautifully made. I wish everyone could see that on, but we're on radio.
Right. Well,
but we'll take a photograph of that.
Yes, I'm going to go on Facebook Live for a minute.
And show them that.
Yes. You can check us out at BCC Books, LLC.
You'll
take
get it
me just a minute. So we are out here. It's a beautiful day.
It is. It's hot. It's just beautiful.
Yes, we're here at Red Rooster Antiques right here on US 19. Like I said, come out. Bring any of your items with you that you would like to have an appraisal on.
Yep, we have nibbles. Appraisals. We have soda.
Yes.
If you want something to drink, come by and say hello. I'm wondering what people have.
That's right. So that cane is really, really cool. It's so beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Intricate detail.
Yeah. It's all hand done. It's just amazing. And people, they use these at the time. They would men and women use walking sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'll see those and they'll have the handle will be like that, but it'll be for an umbrella.
Oh, really?
But that's a walking stick.
So if you guys would like to take a look at it, I am on Facebook Live right now. Again, that's BCC Book LLC. So you can look at this beautiful cane. Like I said, it reminds me of, remember men used to wear the tails and take
that's
the canes
right, top
to the
hat
opera,
and tail.
Right?
That's right, opera, yes. Some people would call it an opera cane, but yes. It's basically, it was just for the well-dressed man about town, something. It was to show off your wealth as well.
Very cool.
But the ones that I've seen that are really neat, they have ones that are hollow. And during during Prohibition, they would fill it with alcohol. So they would have it, and they would just walk around with it. And then when they wanted a little nip, they would unscrew it, and they could pour themselves
cool
a drink.
Oh, how cool is that?
And I've actually seen one with swords inside of them.
Oh, yes, I've seen one of those.
Have you seen
before?
One of those? Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really rare.
Oh, very cool. All right, so tell us, we have this item here.
This piece right here?
And I would have never guessed what this is for.
This is silver plate. It's probably, it's meant to look like it's 18th century, but it's not. And it's from Sheffield, England, and it's silver plate, really good quality. Probably, I don't know, maybe 40s or 50s. But this is a sugar shake.
Sugar.
When you have your strawberries or anything like that, you want a little sugar, you have caster sugar on there and you just, sprinkle it with this. This is not a salt and pepper shaker. So this is a sugar shaker and probably I would think worth about, say, $35 to $45. And now if this was sterling or 18th century, then it'd be worth 20 times that amount.
Very
so,
cool.
But really nice.
Very nice. I would have never guessed what that was for.
You could probably use it for talcum powder if you wanted to. But, any type of
Or powdered sugar.
Or powdered sugar. Yeah, basically, that's what it's for.
Well, very cool.
So you brought something in, Tammy, and I want to look at these.
Okay, yes. I did bring a few items.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, look at this. Look at this haul. Let's see what we got here. Treasure trove. That's exactly what it is. Well, I could tell there's four beautiful rings. One of them looks like it's 40s, 50s, but the other three look like they're 1920s or teens, and they have little diamond chips set into the cameos. They're cameo rings, and let's see what the gold, what the markings are on them. This one's 10 carat. I think there's another one here. This one's probably 10 carat. And there's one that's 14 carat. And tell me about those, Tammy.
Well, my grandmother actually passed those down to me, which were passed down to her. They had a tradition in my family where they would buy all the girls a cameo when they were around 5 or 6 years old. And so that's where those came from. I did used to have many more of them that were passed down.
Okay.
But I lost them due to a fire.
But they're absolutely beautiful. And I would, you know, I mean,
these two were actually belonging to, they were twins. So they would.
They each had one.
Yes.
That's great. And you can see where one of them has been really, they wore it like a lot because Cameo was a shell, so it wears down. But they're absolutely beautiful. I mean, if I had those in my shop, I would at least put probably about $295 each on them. They're really spectacular. But, of course, you're not going to sell them because they're family heirlooms. And then we have a spectacular piece here. And it's a brooch, and I'll describe it. It's a bird feeding three little chicks in a nest, and in the bird's beak is a diamond, and then it's set with what looks to me to be real rubies, not garnets. And it's just, I would say, probably, I would say 50s, 60s, even early 70s. And it's marked, let's see. And it's marked here. It's marked 967 14 carat, which means it's gold. And then it has a company named FJC. So that's a beautiful piece. Do you have any idea what you think it's worth?
I really don't.
I think the low end of this would be $2,500, maybe even up to... I could see this actually selling for $3,500 at least because of all the beautiful workmanship. The design, people love animal, anything to do with animals, they love in birds. But what's spectacular is so many rubies, and they're nice rubies, and they're all set. That's that. And so tell me about this piece. Is this a family piece as well?
Actually, that also belonged to my grandmother. Honestly, I don't really know. It could have been a gift from someone in my family. I'm not really sure.
Well, what a nice gift that was. And we have a lot of jewelry in the shop like this as well. But this is a really spectacular piece. And I would not get rid of this if I were you. And it's really heavy. So we'll have to later on, we'll have to weigh that out and find out just what's, you know, just the scrap weight alone. But it's not just the gold and the, you know, and the jewels. It's the composition of it. Who did it? You know, right. Who the designer is. Some pieces... Like Fabergé, not everything was solid gold.
Right.
They used all different types of metals and different materials. But because it's called Fabergé, the pieces are worth a phenomenal amount of money.
Right.
You know, so that's wonderful. I love that.
Thank you. So Fabergé, they make mostly the Fabergé eggs, right?
They did, but they also, they made desk sets. They made cigarette cases. They made canes. They did everything. They did jewelry.
Oh,
they did.
Cool.
Magnificent things.
I used to be a big collector of the eggs. I love the Fabergé eggs.
Well, if you find a Fabergé egg, you won't have to work for a long time.
Well, like I said, I lost a lot of things due to a fire at my parents' home. I did have one.
I had
a lot of eggs,
yeah.
But none of them were
Fabergé.
And
you know, they made the eggs for the Russian royal family, but
yeah.
They also did smaller eggs, little tokens that would give out, little necklaces, little pieces. I guess it would be for maybe bracelets or something like that. So keepsakes.
Oh, very cool.
And so again, it's not just what the item is, not what the, you know, the weight of a piece. A lot of people I talk to, they say, well, it's gold, it's silver, it's, you know, it's weighs this much, it's worth that much. Years ago, I found a little silver cup in a secondhand shop. And it wasn't marked. It was only $10. And I looked at it and I said, I think this is 18th century. And I did some research on it, and it was 17th century, and
oh,
it was
wow.
Russian. And because of who made it, it was made like in 1650 in
oh,
Moscow.
Wow.
I got almost $10,000 for that piece.
Oh my gosh, what a find!
But that doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
That's like, you know, once every 5 years or 10 years. So, but there's treasures to be found, and we find a lot of nice things that we bring into the shop, and you know, we're pretty good, but we make mistakes as well. So sometimes there might be something that comes in that you got a really great find at our shop.
Well, you have a lot of beautiful things.
We
I just
do.
Took a little tour. It's just so many items and so much history
and
of
we
things.
And we love people to come in and talk about it. So what else do we have here? We have a piece of glass. Now, I think CJ should talk about this because CJ is the one that knows about American press glass, American brilliant glass. He's really wonderful about that. So I'm going to
let him.
I'm going to let him just...
So it is.
Give an appraisal
would
on
you
this
consider
piece.
That a vase?
It is a vase. It is made by the Fenton Factory, sure. which is from Williamsport, West Virginia.
Hold on, I think
there
we're...
We go.
There we go. Okay. Let's shut off. So,
yes, it is a vase. It's made by the Fenton Glass Company, which was out of West Virginia. They started in 1905, and they just closed their doors around 2012. This particular piece is a really lovely color called Cranberry Opalescent. Uh-huh. It has the white around the ruffle for the opalescent and then the cranberry for the rest. They started doing this combination in the late 40s, and they continued making it up through early 2000s. This piece is not marked, which means it's pre-1972.
Because after that, it would have the Fenton mark on
it. It would have a Fenton embossed oval that says Fenton, and then they slightly change the mark every decade.
And it's very popular right now.
Cool. Extremely popular.
So that was made in West
this
Virginia.
This is probably, in West Virginia. This is probably, I would say by the style of the opalescent, probably the 50s. Because they changed formulas. And this one has a lot of fire.
And you should be here and see it because it's glowing in this.
It's absolutely
the sunlight.
Beautiful.
It's really beautiful, yeah.
I love the opal white that is interlaid on top of the pink, which makes it a whole different color.
It does.
So it gradually goes up and it turns different colors.
And they're not producing anything anymore.
No,
right?
they completely went out of business. A matter of fact, 5 years ago, the last of the buildings came down, and it's now, I believe, an elementary school. But it's dedicated to the Fenton family and their legacy. They are very important American glass company. And there's a lot of collectors for Fenton.
So by them going out of business, does that make their pieces worth more?
It actually has. Because they have produced so much and they were still available, their popularity had started to decline. And with the closing of the factory and no longer being made, because these were all completely handmade American glass. They were one of the last companies to do everything hand-blown.
Oh, wow.
And so this piece, if we had this in the shop, we would probably price this around $65-$75. Mm-hmm. They did everything all the way up to lamps, and the lamps can be $500-$700.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever seen them blow glass? It is amazing to see them do that.
I have. It is really, really cool.
And, you know, but the nice things about antiques and collectibles are they're unique, and we live in such a throwaway to society that...
Yes.
You know, by coming into a shop, and you find something that you really love, and it's beautifully made, and that's the fun part of this.
You know where I saw them blow glass at was
where?
Actually, believe it or not, SeaWorld in Ohio.
At SeaWorld.
Because my mother, she was collecting the Cinderella...
The coaches?
The coach, and it had all the pieces. So we actually watched the guy while he was making some of the pieces, and it was really cool.
Did she buy you a piece?
I actually inherited it.
Okay.
But she had several different ones, and some of them they would do little, like, gold paint on some of them, or on, like, the hands or the feet or something.
But a lot of intricate work.
It is. I mean, but to watch them make the little, what do you call it? I just forgot the word again.
The coach?
Yes, the coach. Because it was all like glass, but skinny pieces.
Yeah, it's
you
all
know
like
what I
threaded
mean?
Glass.
Yes, it was like threaded.
CJ had an amazing piece that we found that was made for the, what was it? The it was for like the Columbia exhibition?
Yes. When I was in out in Los Angeles, I went to an estate and I bought a bowl that was made. It was sterling, 2,400 grams of sterling.
Oh, wow.
It had angel faces on it. It was made for the 1893 Columbia Exposition Chicago.
Oh.
And it had a Sinclair cut glass bowl. And it was probably, I would say, 14 inches across.
Yeah.
And but amazing.
But I was talking about the piece that you had that was a necktie. It was made out of glass. That's
yes.
what I was...
So. Okay, and those are very cool. I've actually had two of those through the years, one from the 1893 Columbia Exposition and one from the 1904 World's Fair St. Louis. They were both by the Libby Glass Company in Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
So in 1892, fiberglass was a very new technique, and they called it spun glass. And they had, at the fair, they had a machine that did 600 revolutions a second, or a minute, to do spun glass, and then they gave it to a girl to put onto a Turkish loom, and she wove them into neckties for men.
Oh, wow.
So if you went to the fair, you could get a necktie made out of glass.
Out of glass. It was beautiful.
Cool. So when you were saying that, that's what I was thinking about. Mm. And did you? And you had a piece of it, didn't you?
I had two of them. I had one from the 1904 World's Fair that was in white, sort of opalescent looking, that when it glimmered in the sun. And then the other one was baby blue from the 93 Columbia Exposition.
Beautiful. So how rare are those?
They're very rare. When I went to research them, the only reference I could make that I could find out there was in the Corning Glass Museum in Corning, New York.
That's a great place to go to.
And they had one, and it was not baby blue. I think I got about 600 a piece for those.
So there are treasures out there to find.
Oh, sure.
And not just glass. There's so many different things and collectibles that people buy. And
so
it's amazing things that pieces from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, toys and collectibles. Some of them are worth far more than even antiques.
Right.
And, you know, I look at it coming from that period. It's like, really? It's because there's a market there that wants them. They want to buy their childhood back.
Right.
Where some of the toys now that appeal to people like my grandparent, my parents' age, they've gone down in value a little bit because there isn't that much of a demand for them. Whereas pieces from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, all of a sudden, you know, these people, you know, they're doing well and they want their childhood and they'll spend fortunes for them. But we're more antique dealers, so, you know, we really have to do some research when we find collectible items, especially toys and military. They're niche. They're
I was
niche.
Looking, yeah. actually, at a few of your toys in there. You remember the monkeys that to clap their hands together?
Oh, yes.
You have one of those.
We do. And those, most of them are from Japan, right, the 50s and 60s, a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, a lot of times I find them in their early bad shape because people leave the batteries in them and it gets all gunked up. So if you find one in the box that's in really good shape, they can bring a good amount
of
money.
Oh, yes. And people save the boxes for things because doesn't it make it worth more?
Sometimes the box is worth more than what's inside
of
it.
You know, that's so true.
Because people want them.
Yes.
And I guess 95% of people, when they get a toy or something like that, they discard the boxes.
Right.
So to find it in a box is great.
No, my dad actually taught me that from a very young age. Like, I was into Barbies a lot, and his sister actually, she gave me, I think it was the first Barbie ever made. It was, not Barbie, it was called Madge or Midge.
Midge.
Yes.
Midge.
She had red hair.
Yeah.
Yes. So I had her.
Did you? You had her.
Yes.
You don't have
her
anymore.
Well, I lost all of that.
Oh,
stuff.
I know.
But
I
my
know.
Dad saved every single freaking toy box that we had for me and my brother, because my brother was like into Star Wars. So can you imagine all the original Star Wars stuff in the boxes? And he was like very. He taught me, I will say, how to take care of things. Like he always cleaned things, like kept everything together.
So he's fastidious in what he did.
Yes. Like all my toys, like he would, even down to the Barbies, like he made me, he was very creative, but he made me this house. So he put it on, remember a Lazy Susan?
Yes, I do.
So he took a Lazy Susan and he built a four walls, right? So I had four rooms and he painted them and made them like a house, you know, and he made me everything that went inside of there. So I had a little like nightside table that the lamp actually worked.
So it was functional.
Yes. And a shower.
And you just would turn it.
Pumped. Yes. So I could sit in one spot and just turn it to go to the different
rooms. Well, you were a little spoiled, huh?
I had a little kingdom for my
Barbie. I guess so.
But he even made ice cubes to put in the ice cube tray out of little pieces of clear plastic. Like he was.
And who was this again?
My father.
Wow.
Yes.
And that sounds incredible.
He was very creative, but he like collected a lot of different things. Like that's what made me very interested in antiques and things like that. Like just things. Like he had this clock, and I don't know if it would have been worth anything, but I've never ever seen one like it before. So it was a black clock, and it was a man leaning up against a post, and he was drinking.
And it was like an automaton. It moved.
Yes. So it moved and it lit up. So the little bottle was like an amber color or whatever. And it did go off. So it had a chime on it. But I've never seen one since. But that was like his favorite thing.
I've seen ones where they have like little people on swings moving back and forth. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's from that period, but I don't know. We'll have to find out about that.
I mean,
that.
It wasn't wrought iron, but it was like that kind of a matte tone, you know? But yeah, the guy was drinking. Like, I used to sit in.
Did he have it on his bar?
It was by the bar.
Of course. That's all that stuff ends up at the bar. I mean, when we go into houses a lot, you know, if they have basements, it was a big thing in the 50s. Everyone wanted to do their basements over and have a bar in their basement and a playroom, you know, before what do they call them now? Man caves. They weren't man caves.
Right, right.
They were for everyone. But, you know, and they would set these up and they would, you know, they'd use them for maybe a few months and then they got tired of them.
Right.
But the stuff all sat there. So a lot of times when I'd go in these houses, it was like a time capsule from like 1958.
Right.
Everything was there, you know.
Well, see, that reminds me of like the best time, because I had an aunt who, she was actually my great aunt, so she saved everything. Like, you know, people, they preserve things. Like I said, my father cleaned everything. Like he would take a toothbrush to like clean things.
Oh, absolutely.
Just make sure that whatever you bought was like, you know, you're going to keep it and you're going to preserve it. Nowadays, you just buy things to throw them away.
Well,
I think
that's the sad part about it. And, you know, what I find now is some of the people in their 20s and 30s, they're so tired of all, you know, everything being mid-century modern, everything being plain, and they want to start collecting something. So, you know, as they age, they say, oh, you know, I got that here, or I have this collection of whatever it is. It doesn't have to be expensive things, but I tell people, make your home your own.
Right.
You know, you don't want it to look like a magazine cover. That's not what you want, you know. And I tell people, buy what appeals to you.
Well, I think a lot of people, though, are buying things that are antiques or even especially explosion from like the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, a lot of that has become.
It is also environmentally better for
it
our
is.
Earth.
And that's what is happening with these young influencers that are on TikTok and Instagram creating their reels that are in their early 20s have discovered antiques. And there for a time, we were having a hard time reaching the younger crowd, and not anymore. They are coming in and they're looking for things for shot glasses, barware. They're looking for costume mm-hmm. jewelry. They're looking for, I've had high school girls come in looking for jewelry for prom, and they love it. They get hooked. The young men are coming in looking for World War II. They've heard the stories from grandfather, from uncles, from Vietnam. They're starting to collect. But the young influencers are touting, finding things at the antique shops because environmentally, they've already lasted 100 years. They'll last 100 more, and they have a low footprint.
Right, and yeah. They used to make things that to last.
Yes.
These days, they do not do that. They make things that you have to replace.
Well, when I go into like thrift shops and stuff like that, and I see all this junk that's been made in, say, the last 30 years, coming in mostly from China, and all this resin stuff that will never rot. You know, and it's broken, and people have had it a year or two, and it's there forever. And I'm saying to myself, what a waste, you know.
It just will fill up our landfills.
Yeah, and also I love, and you know, and there's the artists that are producing things now also. And so I love to buy artwork from people that are producing artwork now. You know, most of the time we get it secondhand, but, you know, that is another specialty area that people, you know, some of this artwork that they create, glass work that the artists down, especially in Florida, there's some wonderful artwork. And,
really?
And there is. And so we find a lot of that too. So we're always buying, you know, I'll buy contemporary artwork if it comes in, but it has to appeal to us.
Right.
You know, so not just, we just don't sell antiques here.
No.
But I mean, that's what I like, you know, I mean, you know, but there's some wonderful contemporary artists down here that we've had some of their works, and it's just wonderful.
Oh, very cool. That. And guys, we are here at Red Rooster Antiques at 30113 US 19, right before Carlo, right across from Home Depot.
Yep,
come out and see us. We're doing free appraisals, and we have a really cool, it looks like a little purse.
Yeah, well, it's
Or change purse.
It is a change purse. And it's from probably the late 1950s, early 60s. And it's beautifully made. And CJ told me that this was, these were being produced on routes, you know, the Route 66 out out in the West, and you know, people could stop and buy these. But they were Native Americans.
They're Native American made.
Yeah,
that one has a wonderful black Thunderbird on it,
Thunderbird,
with a turquoise beaded background,
with little teepees on it. It's just wonderful.
A little souvenir that, you know, Grandma and Grandpa'd bring back for their granddaughter or grandson. And they're all animal skin
inside.
Lined.
Yeah, that's real like leather.
Well, you'd see these too later on that they, you know, they would produce them in Japan and stuff, fake ones with plastic. But these, I believe, are glass beads.
Yes.
And all leather inside. I mean, that's really nice.
They're all completely handmade. And, you know, that's how...
So heavy.
the Native Americans at that time, out on the reservations, they'd support themselves. They would make handmade silver, they would make beadwork, they would do baskets and pottery. And a lot of Americans would take that Route 66 trip, was a big thing starting in the 30s, going up through the 60s, and then airlines took over. But people were making car trips from Chicago to L.A., and hence the song.
Right.
Route 66.
Yeah.
So, what would you say that was worth, say?
If I had that in the shop, I would probably put that at around 48.
I was thinking
58.
Even a little more. Yeah, that's
could be
really
a little
nice.
Higher. You know, it's a nice piece of affordable Americana.
Yeah.
And something you can use.
Something you can start grandchildren out collecting. Because the older it gets, the rarer it's going to be.
Right.
Harder to find. And so it's just a very functional, beautiful piece of American history.
Yeah, and we get a lot of women in because we do have some vintage clothes and accessories and bags and jewelry. I think our costume jewelry is probably our biggest seller in the area.
Oh.
Because it's, you know, a lot of people come to the Clearwater area, they're on vacation, and they want to bring something back. They don't want to spend a huge amount of money, but they want something as like a little memento of their trip.
Right.
And they buy, you know, the jewelry, and it's just, we have a hard time keeping it in stock.
You have a lot of stuff in there right now.
We do have a lot of stuff.
I love tiaras.
Do we have a tiara?
We have one or two right now.
Yes, I saw one.
We had one about maybe a year ago, and I found it, and it was from New Orleans, from the Mardi Gras, but it was an old one from the 20s, 30s, and we got a good amount of money for that.
From one of the crews. Her grandmother had been one of the queens, and it was and it went back to New Orleans, the guy who bought it.
And we could tell the way it was made. It wasn't made like they made them in the 50s. It was lead, basically, that was silvered, and then it was set with the stones.
Right.
Where later on it would probably be like a base metal and then dipped in silver.
They're heavy, right?
But this was lead, and it was almost pliable, and you could tell this is a lot older. And the woman bought it, and she just loved it.
Yeah.
So that's really fun.
Cool. Yeah. Yes, I love tiaras.
So we have some other things here.
Oh, and this item here.
Oh, this is really interesting. It looks... I'm trying to think. Well, it looks like what it's set for.
It looks like three fingers.
It looks like three fingers. And it's all engraved with beautiful workmanship on it. And it has an initial, I think it's LG. And then you open it up and it's a box, basically, a little case. And it's gold inside, like a gold wash. On the outside is silver. And it is sterling silver. Let's see what the mark is on this. Okay.
It's a really nice piece.
It's
beautiful.
Webster Silver Company, and it's probably from about 1900, 1910.
Oh.
And these are pretty rare to find. And a lot of men smoke cigars. So this is something that's really highly sought after.
So it is a cigar case.
It is. I mean, you could use it for something else, but that's basically what it was for. So you could have three cigars or cheroots and, you know, something to put in your vest. It wouldn't be something you want to lose.
Right.
You know, you just put it in your vest like that. But I would say it's, you know, I've seen these online. Sometimes they can go as high as $2,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I would say this one is probably worth about $600 or $700. You know, it's in fairly good shape. It has a little dents and a little... But overall, the condition is really good. And just a beautiful piece of silver.
I always loved the cigarette cases.
I just quit smoking about a month ago. And, yeah, but you can, you know, the cigarette cases, a lot of them you can use for, which is great if you're going out to the clubs, you can put your credit card in there.
Ah, yes.
And a few dollars. And it will work. Rather than lugging a big handbag if mm-hmm. a woman's going out, it's just a great thing to have.
Yes.
And that's why we sell a lot of the cigarette cases for that reason.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't smoke now.
Right. I just always loved them. I thought they were cool. and like the hard cases.
And we sell compacts, too. A lot of compacts. Even though women don't really use them anymore. Maybe to look at themselves. But I guess women don't wear powder on their face anymore, do they?
Maybe a little bit.
It's like foundation now.
But it is a whole process where you use a brush and you got the whole thing.
So no more with a powder puff.
I don't know, but you always have to have a mirror. I disagree. See, there's certain things. See, depending on what purse I have.
And if you're sitting somewhere and you want to see who's behind you and you can just look at that, you know, discreetly, you just stick your head out and just stick that compact and you can see who's sitting behind
right,
you.
Right, right. No, I always think a mirror, a comb or a brush, like certain things I always
personal
used to have.
Accessories.
Yes, like, well, back in the day, it was always hairspray. And always, always, you will find lip gloss in my purse, no matter what purse it is. phones now. And, see, extra things I just stick in my car now, like glasses, cases,
good.
And things like that.
And we've got someone here. Hello.
That is awesome. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much, Sharon. How are you?
Oh, my gosh.
So Sharon just came in. Oh, for sure. Here, you want to stick on a headphone? We're doing a live show. So Sharon is one of my realtor friends.
Hello, Sharon.
Yes,
I think I've met you before.
Yes, this is Sharon Becchioni, and this is Adam.
Hi, nice to meet you.
But we are here again, guys, at Red Rooster Antiques, and Sharon has brought us a picture of Elvis.
It is Cut Me and I Bleed.
Oh no!
Portrait by the wonderful Elvis Presley. And this came all the way from Massachusetts. It's traveled to Mississippi, it's traveled to Tennessee, and now it's with us in Florida, and we're wondering, what are we going to do with this thing? And it does have some damage
on
the bottom.
It does. It's a nice thing,
though. It's really sad, but I don't know.
Well, he just looked at the artist's name is Tommy Merrifield. Did you buy this when it was new?
No, my mother-in-law had it in her basement for about, I don't know, 15 years.
Because it was 1987.
Okay.
This original artwork was. And we're going to find out what they're going for.
Yeah.
It's a great piece. It has a lot of damage on it, but it's nice.
It was in a basement with some water.
Yeah. I wonder if it was in pristine shape. Let's see what CJ can find out about it.
It's actually a really beautiful
it's
picture,
it's beautiful, though.
Like, I know. I like you could cut that, you know?
Yeah. Well, there are people that can do restoration with paper. Because this is actually printed on whatever the printing process is. There are people that can repair it if you wanted it to have it repaired.
No, I'm living in 900 square feet, so it's kind of big for the closet.
I know. Anyone like it?
I don't know if anybody would like it.
I think it's great.
You can.
All right.
I have a whole bunch of, oh my gosh, what are they called? Hummel dolls. I have about 25.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Hummels are interesting.
I was going to bring them here, and I just thought Elvis.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Come on,
Sharon,
over.
So this piece, if it was perfect, would be worth about $400.
Darn.
I mean, I would try to sell it for about $40. Now, if you wanted to have it restored, it can be restored, but it's a great thing.
Okay.
And I actually, you know, as Elvis collectibles go, I actually like that. He looks great in that.
Yeah, he really does.
And it's not what you think of when you think of Elvis collectibles, because usually they have him later as the king and all this. But this is nice. He's young. And I love the background. It's almost like a Maxfield Parrish.
It looks like he's in the Grand Canyon, right?
Right.
It is. And the artist, he's deceased, right? The Tommy Merrifield.
Yeah,
I'll have to look up more
number.
About him.
There's a phone number down here. It says something about England.
I wonder if he was an English artist. You know, the English are crazy about Elvis. They love him. They just think he's the best.
Oh, yes. Well,
but I do like this.
I lived in Memphis, so I went to Graceland about 12 times.
I've always wanted to go there. I've always wanted to go there. I think, you know, actually, if I had this piece, I probably would have it cut down and put into a frame.
Well, do you want to buy it for $40?
Well, we'll talk to you after we...
I got to go to the grocery store, and I got to get back to my studies. I'm studying for my real estate relicensing.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable.
Well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it, but it's a great piece.
Well, do you want me to just leave it here, or do you want me to take it?
Well...
What do you want me to do?
Well, you can leave it here, and then, you know...
Hi.
Come back afterwards. Okay. But it's a great thing. It is.
Well, great. So should I have a plug-in for who I am?
Absolutely.
Yes, Ms. Sharon. So tell us about yourself and your business.
So I am a licensed realtor here in Florida. I service the Clearwater, Palm Harbor, Tampa Bay area. I have been helping lots of buyers recently trying to find a place to live.
All right.
So I have some buyers right now looking for a condo that allows for two pets. And it has been very difficult.
Oh, really? Yeah.
For two pets. I did go to a showing this morning, and they are allowing one pet that is a therapy dog and the second pet that's a normal pet. Mm-hmm. And I just finished my certification in assistance pet certification.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's...
And it's amazing the differences of service dogs and therapy dogs and emotional support.
And there's
dogs.
A lot of animals that are well behaved, you know. I think it should be judged on how the animal is, you know.
I think so too.
I think a lot of times they just this negative, like, no, we know animals are only one. You know, there are animals that are perfect. So.
Yes, and they're chihuahuas.
They're tiny.
They're 16 years old. So anyway, that's what I'm doing. But I do have Coal Banker Realty is my brokerage. We have phenomenal products, which is Revitalized. We confront the money up front if you need to fix it up. You know, if you need to paint, if you need to stage, if you need a new AC, I have the program that will do that. And I have a wonderful lender that helps my buyers with different loan programs. And also, I am a seasoned real estate agent licensed in Massachusetts, Mississippi, Tennessee. I bring with me 25 years as a real estate paralegal. So if you know anybody that needs a really good real estate agent that cares,
yes,
I am
That's
here.
Important. That's
and
really
I do
important.
Care.
Yes.
I can attest to that. You actually helped a very good friend of mine.
Yes.
And they just love you. They love
Thank
you. You went above
That's
and beyond.
Awesome.
And
all that matters.
Yes, for sure.
So if anybody wants to go to my website, it's at yournextfloridadreamhome.com, or you can email me at agentsharon@comcast.net. How easy is that?
That's
Agent
easy.
Because I'm like a little detective. And or you can call me at 662-420-0871 and make it a great day, y'all. All the listeners out there, I'm here for you.
Great,
Sharon.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
And thank you for bringing in your painting. Thank you so much. And we'll see you in a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Sharon.
And we have
another guest.
A beautiful frame here.
Yes, and...
Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself? We're on the radio right now.
Adam, this is a very nice lady. Her name is Janet. And
Hi, Janet.
She has brought you a couple of items.
Yeah, some really interesting pieces.
Okay, I'm, a local person and from New York, artist.
Are these pieces that you brought with these? Were these family pieces?
Not family.
Just pieces that you've acquired over the years.
Yeah, the curious one is this little, looks like some Indian finger paint pot.
That's
no
the
knows.
Most interesting piece. And where did you find this? Do you remember where you got it?
No, I don't remember. It came with other things. You know, I probably in a thrift store type setting.
I don't
setting.
Think this is pottery. I think this is stone.
Yeah.
And I think this could be really
old. American Indian.
It could be American Indian. It could be what's from Central South America. Colombian, pre-Columbian. I think it's just a wonderful piece.
Yeah, me too.
This is something that is kind of like you'd really have to do some research on this because I'm not an expert in pre-Columbian or Native American items, but I have a feeling that this might be worth something, and this is interesting because it looks like it has a lot of age to it. It's only about, what, about a little bit over an inch.
Right.
But it's just
stick
amazing your finger piece.
In it, and it has, I'm an artist. I've been collecting.
I know.
My parents collected.
Isn't that interesting?
And that just caught my eye. I've probably had it like 15 years, and no one knows what it is. Even American Indian expertise.
It may have been made.
Collectors.
It may have been used for some type of bomb or some type of ointment they used.
Or you know how they used to do the painting.
That's
on their
right.
Bodies
they paint.
And faces.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have used a paint. That's right.
Okay,
that's even a better idea.
So
that is a piece. Now that's something that you would have to bring to an expert, maybe like Sotheby's or Christie's, and they could tell you far more than I could tell you on that piece. But I have a feeling that that is old and ancient. What the value is on that piece, I don't know.
Right.
That's an interesting piece. Now, the other two pieces you brought in a gesso frame, which I would say probably is the turn of the 19th century, probably 1895, 1900.
Mm-hmm. Gold leaf here.
Gold
and
leaf.
Here.
And this is gesso, which is, it's kind of a, it's like a plaster of Paris.
Yeah.
This is over a wood form, and then they would mold this. And it's in fairly good shape because most of the time
right.
they're really bad shape.
Right.
I would say that would probably be worth maybe $75, $80 for this piece right here.
So this part and this part of the gold leaf.
This
correct?
Is, yeah, the and
inner,
this is the original.
Just the inner, like, lining. And this is paint.
Yeah, well, it, I think it was all done at the same time. I don't
look
think
at
this
the back.
Yeah, this is I don't think this has been gone over. Most of these frames you see when in the 40s, 50s people they got a little nicked up so people would out would come the radiator paint, which people don't call it radiator paint anymore, but for my generation they did.
Yes.
And they would have it in silver and gold. Now this what's nice about this, they have touched it up a little bit, but I don't think they've gone over it. Basically, I think this is the original gilding on it. So, yeah, $75, $80, somewhere around that.
I just wanted to know if you thought it was gold leaf and how old.
Yeah.
I guess later.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of detail.
No, I think
it's always press molding.
Yes, it is. Press molding. But it's probably 1890s, 1900, 19,
okay.
latest 1910. After this, after 1910, First World War period, this style went out. You
find it's popular in your store for certain
sometimes
people?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes we do. You know, people are looking for a certain type of frame. It's like mirrors. Everyone has their own idea. I used to buy a lot of mirrors, but mirrors are hard because if you have a round one, they want a square one. If you have a wooden one, they want a metal one.
I have and a mirror for this.
So I would
insert.
Put a mirror.
I just left it at home.
I would, yeah, a mirror
I
is perfect
it.
For this.
A thick mirror.
Now, these are interesting. I think these are wonderful. There's
mm-hmm.
two plaques here. And they're small, and they have the woman's, Ruth, is it Hoover?
I don't know, but it's
it looks
70.
Like Hoover. I have to look her up. But, okay, it says original watercolor, Marie Hunter Burns. And then it's dated 1973. Painted for, oh, that's painted for this woman.
So it's but, miniatures.
So yes, they're miniatures, and her name is Marie Hunter Burns. Let's see if we can find anything out. But they're wonderful.
Yeah.
They're of
a
little a hen. And a rooster with little birds at the bottom that are just hatched. Ah, these are wonderful. Where did you find these?
Well, I used to be a picker in New York at a place called Crown House in Chappaqua, New York. And I would buy things wherever. It could have been a yard sale, a church, and I would sell them to the dealers. And I worked in the store. And I worked in the American Craft Museum also, so I did a lot of artistic things.
They're wonderful.
Have the eye.
You have the eye because they're
the
wonderful.
I have the artist eye. I'm trained. I have an art degree, so,
yeah,
I know what I like, but I also know what looks like it has value. Whether you can sell it or not, that's another story.
That's another story, but I just
story.
Think these are really sweet. They're well done. They all almost have a folk art feel to them, but they're really,
I
they
think
flow.
They're, very cool.
They're really cool. If I had those in the shop, I would put at least $65, $75 for the pair. And
okay.
they're lovely.
Right.
They almost talk. You almost think they're going to speak to you. Or
so
those are great.
In my mind, I mean, the boss, my friend who owned Crown House, she loved chickens. So I would buy things that had chicken theme, and she might buy them for her store, or she might have put them in our 1860s house / store.
That's correct.
It was fabulous.
And you brought them to Red Rooster Antiques.
And I've had them for 20 years.
They're great.
At least.
Great.
And so somehow they just kind of move around, but, you know, in general, people aren't, like, jumping at me to buy them.
But
it's
I think yes, it is. We get a lot of people, and we have a our sign that says Red Rooster Antiques. We had a local artist create that. We had an 18th century old door, and they created that, and we have it in the shop. It's very similar.
Oh, got
to come and look.
Very cool. Yes, because we are here at Red Rooster Antiques doing free appraisals today.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit. What's your name again?
Janet. Stevens.
Got a caller.
Oh, you have a caller.
Oh, we have a caller. Oh,
okay.
Hold on 1 second. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to purchase the Elvis piece.
Oh, you would?
Yes.
Well, the woman left it here, so I said, what did I say, about $40?
Yes.
Yes, so, yes, yeah, exactly what you said, $40.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you come down and you can buy it. Yes, you can.
I'll listen to the radio, so I can come down. My name is Rena.
Hi, Rena. How are you? And I'm
doing
sure
pretty good. I'd be better I get that Elvis.
I'm sure Sharon will be tickled pink, too.
Yes.
She will be happy about that. It's really a nice piece.
Okay.
Well, we look forward to meeting you.
All right.
Thank you so much. And that's Red Rooster Antiques. We're right here on US 19, right across from Home Depot.
30113.
US 19.
Highway 19 North. Right next to Dan's fans.
All right.
Do you have any more Elvis pieces?
I don't think we do have any more Elvis pieces, but you have to come in. Sometimes we do. We forget what we have.
I love Elvis Antiques.
So come in.
Okay, cool. They do have some more pieces for you to take a look at as well.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's great.
Janet, where did you say you were from? New York?
I'm from Long Island, then Westchester.
Oh, okay. Westchester.
And I've been collecting since I'm maybe 14 years old.
Oh, cool.
So you know about the joys of collecting.
I know that I have the treasure hunter personality.
All right.
I think you need a little bit
early.
Of that. Yes.
And when I was 15, I used to go on Long Island to Junior League thrift stores. I didn't drive yet. And they had mostly things from the 40s, like veils and clothing and those beautiful plastic purses in abundance, because now we're going back quite a few years, like 40 plus years. So you could get things easily from the 40s.
We have a little pup here. What is your pup's name?
That is my Papillon, who upstages me at all times. His name is Bada Bing.
Oh, Bada Bing. He came over to say hello. I was
hello.
Looking
down. He's
cute. I think he's caught.
He's available as a mascot.
He's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. I love the
store. So much you come. Yeah, I'm so glad you came. And this is probably one of the most interesting pieces we have.
Yes, that's very cool.
Okay.
So
I agree.
We only have about a minute left.
Well, I just want to say, you know, come down. We're here for a little while. We're going to be here and stop by and say hello and get something appraised and just come and see the shop.
Absolutely. Have some snacks and come check out the things that we have at Red Rooster Antiques. And we just want to thank everyone who came out today. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you,
Sharon, Alex. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ed.
And thank you so much, Ed. All right, guys. And we are just about out of time. So thank you so much. Have a great day, Tampa Bay.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.